Well, we're in a teaching series right now from the Old Testament book of Proverbs, which is wisdom literature. And the title of this series is You Can Be Wise. And the title of today's message is Extreme Wisdom. Virtually everybody in this room, you've seen the Dummies books, Gardening for Dummies, Cooking for Dummies, Guitar for Dummies, Preaching for Dummies. You've seen these books where the aim is to take something fairly complex and daunting and simplify it in layman's terms so that someone who's not particularly proficient in that particular area, they're learning a little bit about how to make progress in whatever skill that may be. I'm not trying to be insulting when I say that the Old Testament book of Proverbs is basically wisdom for dummies. It's wisdom for people who need to be introduced to the way of God. And here's the way I define wisdom. Wisdom is skilled action in the realities of life from God's perspective. Skilled action in the realities of life from God's perspective. What does God think about something? Well, that's the attitude that we want to pursue. And today, extreme wisdom. You've all heard of extreme sports. Some of you have participated in extreme sports. I've got a photo up here. And that's not a great photo of me, but I think you can kind of make it out. And so extreme sports. Well, today we're talking about extreme wisdom where we will push ourselves. And here's the key phrase of Scripture that will come out later. You've heard it. One of the best known statements in all the Proverbs. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Whoa. Nobody wants to trust the Lord in a half heart. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. We'll get there in just a moment. Very, very quickly, just a little reading guide here to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. It's got 31 chapters. I think a great way to read through Proverbs is to read the chapter to the corresponding day of the month. Today's the 24th. Sometime this afternoon, tonight, sit down and read Proverbs 25, or Proverbs 24. Tomorrow, read chapter 25 on the 25th. And just be amazed at how much wiser you'll be over the next 31 days. Some statements up here on the screen, please, very quickly. First of all, Proverbs are just general expressions of truth. The first 9 chapters in Proverbs, you'll sit down and it's almost like you're eavesdropping on a conversation between a father and his child. But starting with chapter 10, you get one pithy statement after another, little statements that encapsulate wisdom without being too verbose and wordy. And they're generalizations. They don't speak to every nuanced exception, but wise insights on matters like marriage, friendship, money, sex, etc. Second observation very quickly. Proverbs emphasize the connection between character, conduct, and consequence. In other words, our choices have consequences. And that leads to the third observation that often Proverbs present choices to be made. They'll hold up two roads, two decisions, two choices, and said, here they are. Think about these. Make a wise choice. And then number 4, Proverbs push their fulfillment into the future, even into the afterlife. But you can know that God will honor his promise to you. Okay, here we go. Out of Proverbs chapter 3. Number 1. Extremely wise people trust the wisdom of God. They trust the wisdom of God. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Notice this. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Ray Ortland has written a fabulous book on Proverbs, and he underscores what a lot of you know through Bible study, that word trust literally means to fall on your face. Just fall on your face. Fall prostrate before God. And he says in his book, and I think it's a great word picture, he says, you do a belly flop on God. Just a complete, total, abandoned belly flop on the Lord. Let me ask you something. Have you done a belly flop on God's grace and truth? You'll hear me talk so often about both God's grace and truth. Both are keys to a good life. God's grace will forgive you of the most foolish, sinful thing you've ever done. Anybody in this room ever done anything really foolish besides me? The most foolish thing, God's grace forgives us to the uttermost. But listen, God's grace also wants to protect you. It's His grace and His truth. And Jesus says He brings both the grace of God and the truth of God. And it's the truth of God that will lead you in a wise life, in a noble life, where you can start to build a better marriage, better friendship, better money management, et cetera, better emotional life. Just do a belly flop on God's grace and truth. Now, Proverbs is about to make everybody in the room really uncomfortable, because now the writer goes to a couple of areas in life where we get to express extreme wisdom, extreme faith in God, and they're touchy areas. The first area is your treasure. Everybody say, uh-oh. Yeah. Let's talk money. Let's let Proverbs talk money. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth. You know what the word honor, let's just leave the scripture on the screen, please. That word honor, it means to give weight to something. If someone is not honored, they've been what? They've been slighted. Does God feel honored in your pocketbook? Something or someone is going to carry some weight in your purse. Is it God? Is God honored by your wealth? Do you honor God from your wealth? Does He get weight? And notice He says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your crops. In other words, don't say to God, here, Lord, let me get the Tupperware out and here's some 14-day-old meatloaf and it's all yours. Martha and I, the biggest line item in our budget is not our giving to God, but it's the first thing we do. The very first thing. And in our culture, people would look at somebody who does this as a complete fool. No, what you do is this. Here's what you do. You spend all you want to spend on yourself, and then if there's anything left over, you just sort of give to God. But extremely wise people honor God even with their treasure. Now, personally, my own theology, I'm not a believer in tithing. Tithing is an Old Testament principle that says everybody across the board give 10%. 10% for some people's too much. 10% for some people's not enough. The New Testament teaches that we should give as we have chosen in our heart, based on the way we've been blessed, and do it with a joyful, cheerful spirit, and that we should all carry our own load. I'm not a believer in tithing, but let me make this very, very clear too. Neither does the Bible teach tipping. It doesn't teach tipping either. And so honor God, give Him weight in your own purse and pocketbook. And in so many ways, He says, the Lord will honor this. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, your vats will brim over with new wine. It's just His general way of saying generosity to the Lord. He pays attention to it. So one way we express our wisdom in a practical way is how we manage our treasure. Are you growing in this? Are you open to this? Or are you intent on continuing to rationalize this in your life? But here's a second area, and it's also kind of touchy. Another way we express faith in God is how we respond to our trouble. Because trouble feels very, very personal. When we go through difficult times, it can feel like somebody's mad at us. It can feel like we're alone, like we're abandoned. And it can be really, really dark and scary. And one temptation is just to get really, really angry at God. And another temptation is to just lean into despair. And one of the worst things you can do is try to figure out the exact reason why you're going through that time of trouble. Here's what Proverbs says. That even when you go through times of discipline, the Lord is with you. He's with you. And if you know much about the story of the Bible, so many of God's heroes, great, wonderful people of faith, hope, and love, but they experienced such hard times. And some of them martyred for their faith. But was God angry at them? No. Was God punishing them? No. Was God with them? Yes. And the Bible says he was proud of them. He was delighted in them. He was not ashamed to be called their God. But sometimes we experience trouble. And it's discipline, he says. You view it as discipline because your Father's there with you in this. And you may not understand all the rationale. You may not all understand all the reasons behind it. But this you can know. The Lord is with you. He is for you. Don't ever think that that time of trouble is a sign. Well, God's love is not for me, not God's grace. That's just not true. And so he says, my son, do not despise. Don't just get forever and settled angry at the Lord's discipline. And do not just embrace an ongoing way of despair. Do not resent his rebuke. Verse 12. I may have to read verse 12 here. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke. Verse 12 then says, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son that he delights in. So, extremely wise people, just do a belly flop on God. And you can express, one of the ways this great wisdom and trust in God is expressed, it's expressed in some of the most sensitive areas of life with how we handle our treasure. Do we honor God with our treasure? Do we honor God even in times of trouble? Not despairing, not getting angry, just knowing that he's our Father and he's with us, even though we may not be able to decipher the rationale behind it all. Now, Proverbs 3 continues with some very poetic words. And I want to close today by highlighting the way Proverbs 3 continues and letting us know what we must know about God's wisdom. And first of all, it says that extreme wisdom, it must be pursued. In other words, it's just not coming to us through the air we breathe. It's not in the water we drink. It's not a personality trait. I don't get it by osmosis. We're going to pursue the wisdom of God. Blessed are those, verse 13, who find wisdom, who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better return than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you compare can desire with her. And then he says, extreme wisdom, it'll bring blessing to your life. And in very artistic words, he says, long life is in her hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways. All her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. In other words, I can't say exactly what it's going to look like, but there are dividends to walking in the wisdom of God. And then the last thing he says here is that extreme wisdom, it's not novel. Rather, it's ancient. And that's why the people of God who've always pursued wisdom do what? They run to the Scriptures, to the Holy Scriptures. And they run to prayer. In fact, Ray Ortland, in that book I was talking about earlier on Proverbs, he asked this question. He said, you want to know if you trust in the Lord with all your heart? Do you follow and obey the Bible when it contradicts what you want it to say? Do you honor the Scriptures when it goes against what you want, what your ambition is, what your desire is? You see, wisdom, it's rooted in God's created order. Look at the way Proverbs says it. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. And by his knowledge, the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. Extreme wisdom, it's found in the ancient order. That's why, as a church, we have decided we uphold the Holy Scriptures. And we will continue to read and study and teach. This is the heart of God to us. And we run in prayer to our great God, knowing that he loves to answer the prayer for wisdom. And he promises to honor those requests. For more than 30 years, archaeologist Howard Carter searched the deserts of Egypt for something that most people thought didn't exist, which was the tomb of King Tut. Most experts believed that everything in the Valley of the Kings had already been discovered. But Carter continued his search, even after he was told by his sponsor in England that the timeline is almost done and they would stop funding the search. But in November of 1922, during his final season of work, Howard Carter uncovered a hidden staircase near the tomb of Ramses VI. He sent a cable back to England saying, at last we've made the wonderful discovery, a magnificent tomb with the seals intact. And sure enough, Howard Carter had located the tomb of King Tut, one of the greatest archaeological treasures ever discovered. His search was driven by a firm belief that there was treasure to be found, although he was uncertain. But unlike Carter, we have an absolute guaranteed result if we will pursue the grace and truth and wisdom of God. The Bible says it's the wisdom of God, it's more precious even than rubies, even than King Tut's treasure. Skilled actions in the realities of life. That's wisdom. Now, as a church, we want to nurture one another in that journey. In a room this size, there's somebody here saying, Ronnie, I've been engaged in folly and foolishness of a type that you just cannot imagine. In a room this size, somebody's been drinking way too much. Somebody's involved with drugs, maybe painkillers, and it started innocently enough, but no longer. Somebody's on the computer in self-destructive ways. And then some of you have had others in your life make decisions, and their bad decisions have rubbed off on you. And you've tried to come to emotional grips with that, and it's hard to get traction. We have a ministry in our church that meets every Friday night. It's called Celebrate Recovery. And it's just a wonderful group of people who get together and they say, in my past, there's been some folly and foolishness, and I'm not proud of it, and for some reason, it's got its claws in me, and I need some help. And here's what you don't find there. You never find any sort of condescension. You never find any sort of haughtiness. What you simply find is one person after another saying, me too, me too, me too. Let's walk together. Let's journey together. Let's pursue wisdom and wholeness and shalom, the peace of God, together. That might be a really good decision for you to make this next Friday night. And remember, you're never going to drift in wisdom. You'll have to make some choices and pursue it like it's treasure. God bless you.